Welcome to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into Topic C5, Monitoring and Controlling Chemical Reactions. Whether you're revising for your mocks or your final exams, this episode is going to give you everything you need to feel confident walking into that exam hall. We'll cover the key concepts, work through some calculations, talk exam technique, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Topic C5 is all about the quantitative side of chemistry. That means using numbers and measurements to understand and control what happens in chemical reactions. There are three main areas. First, moles, concentration, and gas volumes. Second, reaction rates and how to control them. And third, dynamic equilibrium and Le Chatelier's principle. Let's take each one in turn. The mole is chemistry's counting unit. Just like a dozen means 12, one mole means 6.02 times 10 to the power of 23 particles. That's Avogadro's number. But in practice, you won't need to use that number directly. What you do need is the formula, moles equals mass divided by relative formula mass. Write that down. Moles equals mass over misted. So if you have 4 grams of sodium hydroxide, NaOH, and the mister is 40, then moles equals 4 divided by 40, which gives you 0.1 moles. Simple. Now, concentration. Concentration tells us how many moles are dissolved in 1 cubic decimeter of solution. That's 1 liter. The formula is concentration equals moles divided by volume. And here's the critical thing that trips up so many candidates. The volume must be in cubic decimeters, not cubic centimeters. If you're given a volume in centimeters cubed, you must divide by 1,000 first. So 25 centimeters cubed becomes 0.025 cubic decimeters. Examiners see this mistake constantly, and it costs marks every single time. Titration is the required practical that tests your ability to measure concentration accurately. You use a burette to add a solution of known concentration, called the standard solution, to a measured volume of the unknown solution in a conical flask. An indicator tells you when the reaction is complete. This is called the endpoint. In the exam, you'll often be given the volume used and the concentration of one solution and asked to find the concentration of the other. The method is always the same. Calculate moles of the known solution. Use the mole ratio from the balanced equation to find moles of the unknown. Then calculate concentration using concentration equals moles divided by volume. A key exam tip: always use the mean titer from your concordant results. That means results that are within 0.1 cubic centimeters of each other. Examiners specifically look for this in 6-mark practical questions. At room temperature and pressure, which we abbreviate as RTP, one mole of any gas occupies 24 cubic decimeters. This is a fixed value you must memorize. The formula is volume of gas equals moles multiplied by 24. Or rearranged, moles equals volume divided by 24. So if a reaction produces 0.5 moles of carbon dioxide gas, the volume produced at RTP is 0.5 times 24, which equals 12 cubic decimeters. Remember, this only works at room temperature and pressure. Percentage yield and atom economy come up frequently, and candidates often confuse them. Percentage yield compares what you actually made in the lab to what you theoretically should have made. The formula is percentage yield equals actual yield divided by theoretical yield multiplied by 100. Atom economy is different. It's about sustainability. It measures how much of the mass of the reactants ends up in the desired product. The formula is atom economy equals relative formula mass of desired product divided by sum of relative formula masses of all products multiplied by 100. A high atom economy means less waste, which is better for the environment and more cost-effective industrially. Now let's talk about how fast reactions go and how we can control them. Collision theory tells us that for a reaction to happen, particles must collide with sufficient energy. That energy threshold is called the activation energy. The rate of reaction depends on the frequency of successful collisions. That phrase, frequency of successful collisions, is exactly what examiners want to see in your answers. Use it every time. There are 4 main factors that affect reaction rate: temperature, concentration, surface area, and pressure for gases. Let's go through each. Temperature. When you increase temperature, particles move faster. This means they collide more frequently, and more of those collisions have energy greater than or equal to the activation energy. Both effects increase the rate. In your answers, you must mention both more frequent collisions and more successful collisions. Concentration. Increasing concentration means more particles in the same volume. This increases the frequency of collisions, so more successful collisions occur per unit time and the rate increases. For gases, increasing pressure has the same effect. It's essentially the same as increasing concentration. Surface area. For solid reactants, breaking them into smaller pieces increases the surface area exposed to the other reactant. This means more collisions can happen at the surface, increasing the rate. Think of dissolving a sugar cube versus granulated sugar. The granules dissolve faster because more surface is exposed. Catalysts. A catalyst is a substance that increases the rate of reaction without being used up. This is crucial. Catalysts are not consumed. They work by providing an alternative reaction pathway with a lower activation energy. On an energy profile diagram, a catalyst lowers the peak of the curve, but doesn't change the energy levels of the reactants or products. Now let's move to dynamic equilibrium and Le Chatelier's principle. This is often the most challenging part of C5, but once you understand the logic, it becomes quite elegant. A reversible reaction is one that can go in both directions. Reactants form products, but products can also reform reactants. We show this with a double-headed arrow. When a reversible reaction takes place in a closed system, meaning nothing can enter or leave, the reaction reaches dynamic equilibrium. At this point, the forward and reverse reactions are happening at the same rate, so the concentrations of reactants and products remain constant. Notice I said constant, not equal. This is a very common misconception. Equilibrium does not mean the concentrations are equal. It just means they're not changing. Le Chatelier's principle tells us what happens when we disturb that equilibrium. It states, if a system at equilibrium is subjected to a change, the equilibrium will shift in the direction that opposes that change, concentration. If you increase the concentration of reactants, the equilibrium shifts to the right toward the products to reduce the concentration of reactants. Temperature. If the forward reaction is exothermic and you increase temperature, the equilibrium shifts left toward the endothermic direction to absorb the extra heat. Pressure. If you increase pressure, the equilibrium shifts toward the side with fewer moles of gas. Count the moles of gas on each side of the equation to determine which way it shifts. A classic example is the Haber process. Nitrogen plus 3 hydrogen gives 2 ammonia. The forward reaction is exothermic, and there are 4 moles of gas on the left and 2 on the right. High pressure favors ammonia production. Low temperature also favors ammonia, but it slows the rate. So industrially, a compromised temperature of around 450 degrees Celsius is used, along with an iron catalyst to speed things up. Now let's talk exam tips. Always show you're working in calculations. Even if your final answer is wrong, you can still earn method marks. Check your units. Divide centimeters cubed by 1,000 to get cubic decimeters. When explaining rate of reaction, always use the phrase frequency of successful collisions. For equilibrium questions, always identify whether the forward reaction is exothermic or endothermic before predicting the effect of temperature. Remember that catalysts do not shift the equilibrium position. In titration calculations, always state the mole ratio you are using. Right, let's test your memory with a quick-fire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, then give the answer. Try to answer before I do. Question 1. What is the formula for calculating moles from mass? And Mr. Moles equals mass divided by Mistit. Question 2. What volume does 1 mole of gas occupy at room temperature and pressure? 24 cubic decimeters. Question 3. Name 4 factors that affect the rate of reaction. Temperature, concentration, surface area, and pressure for gases. Question 4. What does dynamic equilibrium mean? The forward and reverse reactions occur at the same rate in a closed system, so concentrations remain constant. Question 5. A catalyst lowers the activation energy, true or false? True. And it does this by providing an alternative reaction pathway. Question 6. If you increase pressure on a reaction where there are more moles of gas on the left than the right, which way does equilibrium shift? To the right, toward fewer moles of gas. Let's wrap up. Topic C5 covers 3 interconnected areas. First, quantitative chemistry, using moles, concentration, and gas volumes to calculate what happens in reactions. Second, reaction rates, understanding collision theory and how temperature, concentration, surface area, pressure, and catalysts control how fast reactions go. Third, equilibrium, understanding dynamic equilibrium in closed systems and using Le Chatelier's principle to predict how equilibrium shifts. The key things to take away: always convert centimeters cubed to cubic decimeters. Always show you're working. Use the phrase frequency of successful collisions. Remember, catalysts are not consumed and don't shift equilibrium. And never confuse constant concentrations with equal concentrations. You've got this. Keep practicing those calculations. Use the worked examples in your study guide. And don't forget to do past paper questions under timed conditions. Good luck with your revision. I'll see you in the next episode.